First Coast Connect with Melissa Ross is sponsored in part by Baptist Health.
Good Wednesday morning. We are live from Studio 5. I'm Jamie Jackson in this morning for Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks so much for joining us. Just ahead, sea turtles in Jack's Beach. They got some extra assistance and protection during this important time of year for sea turtles. We'll tell you more about what's being done and how you are being asked to help. Also, are you getting the same shock that I'm getting at the grocery store? The prices are outrageous. But we are going to be speaking with someone who has some very important and useful tips to help you save as much as you can. I went to Walmart the other day, and it used to be $25 could get you a lot. It seems that $25 has turned to $50. So important information to help you save. And later, What's Good Wednesday, holiday edition. You know, there's lots of great events and activities for you during the 4th of July weekend coming up and the days leading up to it. And we're going to have all of that for you. But first, just when we thought we could return to normal, COVID rears its ugly head again as numbers continue to climb here in Florida. And as always, I want you to join the conversation. Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. What are your thoughts on COVID now? We thought that we were entering a new normal. That doesn't seem to be. Well, we are in a lot of ways entering a new normal, but it's not the time to settle down in terms of your protection and social distancing and making sure that you're protecting yourself and your family. That's because people are getting COVID and the numbers are rising. So I want to hear from you. Again, that phone number is 549-2937. What are your thoughts? Do you see an increase in COVID? Are you for or against doing more to protect against COVID? We want to hear from you. And we also want to give you an opportunity to reach out on social media. You can send me a tweet at Jamie Radio News on Twitter. That's J-A-M-I-E Radio News on Twitter. Well, joining us now to talk about the latest information on COVID and what you can do to protect yourself and your family is Chad Nielsen, Director of Accreditation and Infection Prevention at UF Health. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being on with us this morning. Obviously, a lot to get to. And again, I want to invite our viewers, if you have questions or comments concerning COVID, we want to hear from you. That phone number again, 549-2937. Chad, we're seeing an increase, it seems, in the latest COVID numbers in Florida and in Northeast Florida. What can you share with us?
Yeah, so what we actually are seeing is probably a plateau of cases over the last several years. That being the case, we are seeing a percent positivity in the Northeast Florida area, somewhere around 20%. So that's one out of every five people who are testing are actually positive for COVID-19.
And why do you think we're seeing these numbers the way that they are?
Well, I think currently this is being driven by the BA4 and BA5 subvariants of Omicron. Mm. We knew that Omicron was more transmissible than Delta or any previous variant, and these BA4 and 5 variants even more so easily transmitted to people. Combine that with what's likely waning vaccine immunity in the population and virtually no social distancing or masking requirements in the state, and it all makes a recipe for increased cases.
So are there things that you think need to happen or to take place to try to make a difference in these numbers that we're seeing?
Well, I think first and foremost, the best protection people can do against COVID-19 now, and the same as several years ago now, is to get vaccinated. Stay up to date with your boosters if you're eligible, and make sure that that vaccine immunity is on board, because we know the vaccines are effective, but we also know that over time they wane. So if you're eligible for the boosters, get it. And then, obviously, what we've been telling people for years during respiratory viral season is, if you are symptomatic, stay home. Remove your kids from school, don't go to work, and isolate until your symptoms are over. And that's going to dramatically cut the transmission rate between people and also protect those who are healthy.
Now, in terms of the number of deaths that we are seeing from COVID, a lot of us have lost people over the past couple of years to COVID. I know I did. I know lots of people have lost people. What are the death rates looking like at this point?
Yeah, so we have seen an uptick in mortality due to COVID here over the last several weeks across the state of Florida. Deaths and hospitalizations are what we call lagging indicators. So although cases have been high for some time, we're only now starting to see increased hospitalizations and deaths amongst Floridians. So we are seeing an uptick in deaths, but I would like to stress that the deaths that we're seeing now and the numbers are not where they were when we had the Delta variant burning through the population. So although we are seeing more deaths, not at the same rate that we were during previous waves.
All right. And we just want to remind everybody that you're listening to First Coast Connect on WJCT News 89.9 Jacksonville. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to First Coast Connect right here on WJCT News 89.9. I'm Jamie Jackson in this morning for Melissa Ross, but I say that, but she's with us now. Joining us now, Melissa Ross, host of her own show, First Coast Connect with Melissa Ross. Hey there, Melissa. How you doing?
Hey, Jamie. I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice.
Same here. Same here. Now, you tweeted yesterday that you tested positive for COVID. And because you tweeted it, I shared it on the air because obviously everyone wants to know, why are you on the air and where's Melissa? So you shared that you had COVID. How are you feeling? Talk about your experience and, you know, did you do a booster? Did that help? Update your listeners. They want to know.
Sure. Yes, I did test positive last week. Now, I had gotten my second booster shot several weeks ago because I had to get on a plane recently, and I thought, I'll go ahead and get the second booster before I travel. Mm. I'm really glad I did because my bout with COVID was incredibly mild. I just experienced it the way I think a lot of people are these days with this latest variant, just a common cold and not really even that bad of a cold. But out of an abundance of caution and according to all of the protocols which we need to follow to keep everyone safe, I'm still at home, although I am looking forward to getting back to work soon, of course, and being with all of you fine people. But what I would say is that this latest variant is incredibly contagious. I think that's why, as you've been talking about, Jamie, the spread of transmission in our community and in Florida right now is just off the charts. And you know, even though it's just a mild cold or an inconvenience for most people, there are still serious cases, and public health experts are warning that this is still a danger to some patients, and so we have to be mindful of that, you know, and I would encourage anyone who hasn't gone out and gotten boosted to do so, because it will protect you from getting a more serious bout with the disease. And I'm just so grateful that hasn't happened to me.
Now, are you comfortable with sharing your symptoms or what you went through, and how did you even think to test to see if you had it?
Sure. We have two daughters. They're both home now this summer. Our oldest is just here for the summer because she'll be going to college in the fall. Our youngest started a job this summer, her first job, at a grocery store. Mm. And on her very first day of work, she felt sick. At the end of her shift at this job, she started to feel really sick, and she was complaining about flu, what it sounded to me like flu-like symptoms, like mm-hmm. fever and chills. And I thought, that kind of sounds like the flu, because she had never had any cold like this, where she had fever and chills. So it really kind of frightened her. That was a new thing for her. She'd never been through anything like that. So we got her home from the job. You know, we gave her medicine for her cold, lots of fluids and rest. And then out of an abundance of caution, I thought, well, let's test her for COVID, even though I don't think she has it. And sure enough, she did.
Wow.
But the symptoms weren't what we've all been talking about for the first 2 years of this. She didn't have a cough or shortness of breath. It seemed more like the flu to me. But this latest variant is presenting kind of different symptoms, at least I guess in some patients. So as she recovered at home, you know, we tried our best to isolate her from the rest of the family, but that's kind of hard to do. You do the best you can with it. And then I started to feel like a scratchiness in my throat, I want to say on Thursday. But as soon as we knew she was positive, I started masking up at work, even though I had no symptoms, because I didn't want to expose any of my coworkers. Then on Friday, I started to feel slightly sicker. I tested myself again on Friday because I had been testing myself every day. And then Friday, I came up positive. So, you know, I had cold symptoms over the weekend. And here we are. What day is it today? It's Wednesday now. Yeah. I'm fine. I don't have any cold left in me, I don't think, except I probably sound a little bit stuffy in the nose. And, you know, we're just following the protocols for quarantine at this point.
You know, I appreciate you sharing that, because I think a lot of people really aren't sure, even though we've been dealing with this for years now, a lot of people aren't sure what to look for, right? I think there's kind of some general things that people kind of know, like a fever or something like that, but it can affect people different ways. I remember when I had COVID, and we're talking almost 2 years ago, it was a while ago, my symptoms were completely different from normal. I had aches and pains, but I did lose my sense of smell and my taste. And I actually just got my smell back maybe about 6 months ago. I mean, it was a long time long time before I could smell things normally. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I want people to still understand that COVID is still here. This is not a joke. This is not something to play with. We still have to be mindful. And I mean, I want to say this in a good way. I mean, it's a good thing you were going on this trip and you knew to get a booster, because it seems like it protected you.
Yeah, I really can't stress that enough. I mean, I've had 4 Moderna shots at this point, you know, over the whole stretch of this pandemic time we're living in. The second one very recently. And I do think it made the difference between having a really mild cold and having a more serious bout with the disease. I mean, our youngest, she had received vaccinations 1 and 2, but had not yet gotten any kind of booster. Her second vaccination she got almost a year ago. And she was pretty sick for a couple of days. Like, it's the sickest she's ever been in her life. Let me just say that. And it scared her. She was very frightened. So I would say to parents and to anyone out there who hasn't gone out and gotten the booster or who hasn't vaccinated their children, you know, do it, because It will protect you, and it doesn't mean you won't ever get COVID, but it will almost certainly mean that you will have a less serious experience with it. And like you say, Jamie, you know, this virus has mutated a lot. You had a very different experience than I did. Mm-hmm. This latest variant, the symptoms are a little different, you know, and I think we're still learning from the people studying this virus, how it's affecting the human body over time, and we're not done with it yet. We've still got a lot to learn, and we still have to be mindful of protecting ourselves and each other.
Absolutely. An important message that we all need to hear and all need to be reminded of. Well, Melissa, we want you to get some rest. And is there anything else that you want to share with your listeners?
I would say that to be positive, to be hopeful. It's just been such a terrible time for so many people, and it's easy to get discouraged, but we've got to take care of each other. We've got to take care of our health. We've got to continue to walk this path as tiresome as it is for so many people. And, let's look on the bright side. Let's look to the fact that they're coming out with new antiviral therapies for this disease. They're coming up with new ways of treating it. And again, take charge of your own health. Go get vaccinated and boosted if you haven't already done so. And use precautions. Take care of your kids. Take care of your loved ones. Take care of your parents and grandparents. And just be mindful, but be positive.
Mindful and positive. Love it. Thank you so much, Melissa. And we miss you so much and look forward to having you back.
I miss you guys, and I'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. All right. And again, you're listening to First Coast Connect. I'm Jamie Jackson in for Melissa Ross. And you just heard she gave some really important information. Certainly appreciate her sharing her own experience and looking forward to having her back in this chair behind this microphone. We're going to go back now to Chad Nielsen, who's the Director of Accreditation and Infection Prevention at UF Health. And we want to remind our listeners, we want to hear from you on this. 549-2937, 549-2937. What are your thoughts on COVID, on the COVID numbers, the latest numbers? Have you experienced anything? Do you know anyone? Do you have any thoughts or ideas for what we can do to help prevent the spread? And that's going to be one of the questions I have for Chad. So Chad, you know, one of the things Melissa talked about was something that you had mentioned before our break, that we're seeing different variants of COVID, and it's showing up in different ways, and the symptoms are all different, it seems.
Yeah, that's right. Versus what we've seen with COVID in previous waves, particularly Delta, where it was a much more dangerous variant. People were obviously losing sense of taste and smell and some of the symptoms that you previously have described. The Omicron and these new B4 and B5 variants are very different. They're, just as Melissa described, very mild, with sort of cold-like symptoms accompanying the course of the disease. And I think that's honestly what we're seeing a lot of here, too, in the hospital systems. We have very few cases of COVID who are hospitalized at UF Health and across the city that are being hospitalized with primary COVID infection, right? So what that means is most of the patients who have COVID in our hospital systems right now are here for other reasons, but have tested positive for this mild, light symptom illness. And so what I would encourage the public is, if you don't typically suffer from seasonal allergies or you're not really prone to getting colds and you do have cold-like symptoms, you probably should test for COVID-19 and isolate yourself appropriately. Because this is a really popular symptom pattern we're seeing right now.
Now, we are heading into 4th of July travel season. I think a lot of folks are going to probably start leaving today and Thursday and Friday. And is there anything we can do to make sure that we are protecting ourselves and staying safe, you know, as we head into the holiday? I feel like even, you know, we were talking on the show yesterday about air travel, and I've seen it myself traveling the past couple of days. There's a lot of folks that are out and about and traveling. They've been cooped up for a bunch of years. And is there something that we need to know and need to remember as we head out and try to deal with the new normal?
Yeah, so like I had previously said, and what Melissa thankfully echoed is, staying up to date on your vaccines and boosters is number one. You might still get COVID anyway, but it's going to lead to a much milder case, as Melissa is experiencing herself. But second to that, if you are traveling in airplanes, I know that there's no federal mask mandates on planes or in airports, but I, for one, would protect myself and try and put a mask on, either an N95 or a triple-layered paper mask, just because I think it would make me feel better, as well as potentially not transmit to others, right? Because the entire idea of masking up is to keep you from getting COVID if you're wearing an N95 mask. And if you're not wearing an N95 and instead a cloth or a paper sort of surgical style mask, it's to not transmit to others. So I think it's important that people, don't travel, don't be in crowded spaces if you're sick, and if you're immunocompromised or otherwise have other comorbidities, think about putting a mask on before doing any travel in crowded areas. And I think we'll be able to get through this this holiday weekend, relatively unscathed. It's good that it's July 4th. That means a lot of people will be outside breathing that fresh, hot Florida air. And so I think there's plenty of things we can do to protect ourselves this weekend. And nothing, fortunately, is different than what we've been doing before.
All right, let's go to Laura on the south side on the phone. Laura, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, thank you. It's so timely that you have this program on this morning. I have just arrived at my 82-year-old mother's home with a home test kit to give her a test because her 85-year-old husband was admitted to the emergency room last night with COVID.
Oh, no.
And all of us adult children siblings were in the emergency room with him, so we were all exposed. So
oh, no.
I just really want to share with all of our neighbors that this is still a real issue. And we've been so proud of ourselves and our family that several of us have gone this whole pandemic and not been infected. We've been so careful. But now the thought that, your 85-year-old parent is admitted to the hospital and it could be serious is just as distressing as it was, a year ago or however long. So I just hope we can all please protect each other and be careful and not lose our vigilance because of how long this thing has dragged on.
Thank you so much, Laura, and all the best to you and your family as you deal with that extremely, extremely difficult situation. Chad, that's one of the things that you've been sharing. That's one of the things Melissa has shared. We have to make sure that we're still being diligent. COVID has not disappeared, and it's still affecting a lot of people and affecting a lot of lives. We continue to hear a lot about long COVID, and it seems as though the more we learn about it, the more we hear about it, the more studies that are done. What can you share with us about long COVID, and are there things we should be looking for?
Yeah, so long COVID is something that is getting a lot of research money funded into, right? So the White House has pledged several billions of dollars over the next 10 years or so to study long COVID because we continue to have patients show up in our hospital system and across the nation who have unexplained symptoms many months after having been initially infected with COVID. And so some of those symptoms could be like yourself. You didn't get your sense of smell back for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also be neurological issues, continued fatigue. And these are not really well understood yet. In fact, we don't even have a solid clinical definition yet for long COVID. So, whether it's trying to protect somebody's 85-year-old grandfather who just by his age alone is more at risk, or protecting kids, for instance, from getting COVID, even if it's going to be mild in someone, you could still have this sequelae of symptoms that causes long COVID that we just don't know a lot about yet. So right now we're trying to look at how to best treat these long COVID patients. Most of the time it ends up being supportive care, but it's something that we're still learning a great deal about right now.
And it also seems to be a lot of a correlation, at least in the initial research, of long COVID and primarily heart issues. Can you share a little bit about that connection?
Yeah, so what we do know about COVID as a virus itself, particularly Delta, is that it has the ability to attack cells all over the body. Generally, when we look at respiratory viruses, they attack certain cells in certain areas, the lungs, or for monkeypox, for instance, they'll attack different cells. But with COVID-19, it has the ability to attack virtually every organ system in the body, including the heart. And that's something that we're not used to seeing with respiratory viruses. And so some of these long COVID patients are coming to the hospital or being diagnosed with pericarditis, myocarditis, inflammation of the heart. And that's something that we haven't previously seen with other respiratory viruses that could potentially drive long-term morbidity in these folks who continue to have these long COVID symptoms.
We're going to go to Nicole in Jacksonville right now. Nicole, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to make a point about the at-home COVID tests. I recently recovered from COVID, but I know the source of my infection, and it was a friend. We had dinner plans, but he wasn't feeling well, but took two at-home tests, and they were both negative. Mm. And so, several months ago, if you aren't feeling well, that's the end of the conversation, saying that, but since he tested negative twice, we kept our plans, and it wasn't until the next day that he began testing positive. Several days later, I began having symptoms, but I was actually continuing to test negative on at-home tests until about my second day of symptoms. So I just wanted to put that out there that, it definitely pays to stay vigilant, even don't, take the at-home tests as conclusive.
All right. Thank you, Nicole from Jacksonville. Chad, yeah, that's one of the things I've been wondering. A long time ago, I had been feeling a little under the weather and just wanted to check and see. I wasn't sure if it was allergies or COVID. So I went to the pharmacy and got an at-home test. But while I was taking it, I was wondering, I want to make sure I'm doing this 100% correct. Do you have any tips for folks? Because, that's become the new thing now, is a lot of people are doing the at-home test, which obviously is even affecting how we know who has it and who doesn't. But what tips do you have for that?
Yeah, that's right. And that's a huge amount of data that we have no idea how to track, right? So when I talk about case numbers that we know about, what we don't know about is how many of those at-home tests are being done and turning back positive, because you're not technically required in most states to tell the health department whether or not you've got a positive home test. So tips for home tests, really, first and foremost, make sure you read the package instructions, right? So
yeah.
A lot of people have been accustomed to testing a certain way, with COVID, either PCR tests at a hospital or a doctor's office or at home. But with the plethora of at-home kits available now, they each have their own little testing requirements that you have to follow to the T to ensure that you're going to get a good result. So first and foremost, right, read the package instructions. Don't just assume you know how to do the test because you've done it before. And then obviously this is something we talk about in the hospital a lot, is make sure you're washing your hands before you're doing your tests, right?
Mm.
So most of the package inserts will tell you to do that, but it's so important that you're getting your hands clean before taking these tests, because if not, you could be potentially contaminating the swab that you're actually using to do the test with. So read the instructions, make sure you're cleaning your hands, if you're still not satisfied with the results of those at-home tests and you're still symptomatic, you can still find plenty of pharmacies and different testing centers that will do a PCR test on you, which will be really the gold standard for testing.
All right. Important information. Chad Nielsen, Director of Accreditation and Infection Prevention at UF Health. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, there's still much more ahead. Up next, we're talking sea turtles, how the city of Jacks Beach is protecting them, and how you can help. Keep it right here. We'll be right back. You're listening to First Coast Connect right here on WJCT News 89.9. I'm Jamie Jackson. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Well, Beaches Energy Services is installing new lighting in Jack's Beach parking lots to protect sea turtles. Yeah, I'm sure if you're a native to this area, you know this is turtle season. It's nesting season. And there is a lot of opportunity that you have to help protect the sea turtles while respecting their nest. And by the way, it's the law. You know, you want to give them space. You want to remove beach furniture if you live at the beach. You want to keep our beaches clean and dark. And Beaches Energy Services is helping to do that. Now, they've partnered with Beaches Sea Turtle Patrol with its annual Clean Dark Flat, hashtag Clean Dark Flat public awareness campaign. Matt Seeley is the electrical engineer project supervisor with the company. He joins us now on the line with more. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us about this new lighting and how it's going to be beneficial to the sea turtles. And what are we going to see?
Absolutely. Thanks for this opportunity. So for the last 2 years, we have been working on with different manufacturers and reps to develop and select a light for installation that basically will not attract the sea turtles on the beach away from the ocean. And so the light that we have been working on kind of had to meet four things. Number one, it was going to be safe for sea turtles and their hatchlings. Number two, provide enough light in those parking lots at the beaches for persons just to be able to see what they're doing and feel safe. Number three, be safe in hurricanes, you know, no low-hanging parts that could become flying debris and strong winds. And number four, just being able to withstand a harsh coastal environment with salt spray. And so this light, the moon, the hatchlings are actually, from what we understand, attracted to moonlight, which, as many know, kind of has that white light common to a lot of the newer LED lights that we've seen going in for streetlights.
Right.
And so just under the guidance of the Florida Fish and Wildlife recommendations, we selected a light, developed a light that will put out a much different, a unique light output that they're not attracted to. It's just a lot different than the white light we're used to.
Now, are there things that we can do as I love the beach, are there things that we can do to make sure that we're helping to protect the turtles and that we're doing our part to make sure that we're not interfering in any negative way with their nesting season?
Absolutely. So again, back to the hashtag clean dark flat. It's an easy way to remember and share on social media with others, ways to protect it. Keep it clean, free of litter, including trash, chairs, umbrellas, other debris. Dark, free of artificial life, and flat, free of holes, sandcastles that trap sea turtles.
Awesome. And I do want to mention that, you know, those who want to support and show support, there's a lot of different ways, obviously following through with the behaviors, but you can purchase a mug, a special sea turtle mug at Bold Bean, at Breezy Coffee Shop, Cup of Job, Jack's Beach Brunch House, and also Round Bird Coffee Shop. They're selling those special sea turtle mugs for $10. Matt, is there anything else you think that we need to know and understand about the work that you all are doing and how we can protect the turtles during nesting season?
Just to mention from Beaches Energy, this is definitely a community partnership. These lights aren't cheap. You know, we're putting them in about 35 locations. And, you know, it'll cost about approximately $75,000. But it's something that we feel is important for our environment, for our community. Certainly, I'm afraid it's good news and bad news. The mugs are sold out. We sold out in 10 days.
Wow.
Which is great. We raised $10,000, and the community did, for the Beaches Sea Turtle Patrol. But you can still make a donation on the website just to support the amazing work they're doing. And, no, just keep it up, keep your eye out, and look for anything, and just respect the beaches and take care of it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the work. Thank you so much, Matt, for the work that you all are doing. And we certainly appreciate you being on the show this morning.
You too. Thanks for having me.
All right. And coming up, some important information to help you save at the grocery store. Yeah, we're all seeing sticker shock on chicken and eggs and milk and you name it. It's expensive now. Important tips coming up. Welcome back to First Coast Connect. I'm Jamie Jackson in this morning for Melissa Ross. Well, have you been to the grocery store and seen the prices lately? It is crazy. I was reading a statistic last week that the price of chicken breasts has gone up 68%. 68%. We're all seeing the cost of so much go up at the grocery store. In fact, according to the Consumer Price Index, prices at the grocery store have gone up 12% for the year ending in May. That's the largest year-on-year increase since 1979. And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. Hopefully the Fed gets this all under control, but that's a whole nother conversation. But joining us this morning is Dr. Sharon Ostrin with the UFIFAS Extension Family Nutrition Program with some important tips to help all of us save at the grocery store. Good morning, Sharon. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm Dr. Sharon Austin, and I'm delighted to have a chance to talk to you.
Austin, yes, thank you, thank you. Well, I want to talk about this because obviously so many of us are seeing these prices that are just out of control. How can we save at the grocery store?
Well, when you're thinking about the grocery store, you want to plan before you get there. You want to make planning. Like, for instance, I was thinking about the holiday weekend, and this morning I checked grocery store weekly ads and coupons, and I found out, as you said, the prices are very high. And I decided to pick some of my family favorites for this weekend. So I thought about barbecue chicken and ground beef.
Go ahead.
Okay, and just as you said, the chicken, I saw chicken breast, but I got a better deal when I got a whole chicken. You can cut that chicken up.
That's a really good idea. So obviously with the holiday weekend, a lot of people are going to be doing like you're doing, making sure that they stock up on items. When we look at the rise in prices, are there maybe different kinds of things that we can get that we maybe wouldn't normally get to help us save?
Well, what you would want to do is you want to plan, shop, and make it. So you want to plan it, shop it, make it. So think about your a weekly meal plan or start off easy with a four-day dinner plan. Like I said, with my chicken, I started out for 4th of July, but I'm cutting up the chicken. So half that chicken I am going to use for for the second day of my dinner plan. So, and also think about what you already have on hand. Check your cabinets and refrigerators and freezers for food you already have. And you can also use the Shop Simple with My Plate app, which is on your phone or computer, for planning your meals and finding budget-friendly recipes. And you want to make sure you stick to that plan because you're going to make a grocery list. And when you go shopping, take that grocery list with you. Be sure not to shop while you're hungry or in a hurry. You may buy less food and make healthier food choices. And also think about discount grocery stores, farm stands, and some discount retail stores for cost of food. And some of them will accept SNAP, Ed, and WIC benefits. And again, that Shop Symbol for My Plate has a feature that shows you about farmers markets and local retailers with SNAP benefits.
That's very important.
And then, very important, make your meals at home. You can stretch the ingredients, save money, and reduce waste by eating leftovers. Leftovers really isn't a dirty word. You can stretch your food ingredients by eating the leftovers and adding vegetables to soups and salads and adding fruit to cereals and smoothies. And that cooked protein you had from that barbecue chicken, add that to a veggie stir fry and use it for casseroles and salads.
That's a very good idea. You're making me hungry already, so I have to make sure that I don't go to the grocery store hungry because my stomach's literally growling listening to you describe all these delicious meals. So I want to switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk about hurricane season is coming up, and obviously we're in hurricane season. And I want to make sure that we are preparing the best way possible, but it's kind of difficult, at least financially, to kind of do that and kind of make our everyday meals stretch. Do you have any tips in terms of how we can save in terms of buying money, just or buying food rather, to have in case a storm were to hit?
Yes, you can think about it again by planning ahead of time. We know the storms are coming. So while you're looking for those weekly deals for your meal plans, also look for those shelf-stable items like canned fruit and dried fruit and canned vegetables and whole grain breads and cereals and canned poultry and meat and peanut butter and shelf-stable milk. And you're looking at this food. If you get a little bit at a time while they're on sale, you can stock up as we get closer to the storm, because if you wait until the storm, everyone will be in the grocery store. So you want to take your time bit by bit. And also, when you're looking at the labels for that canned fruits and vegetables, make sure they don't have any extra added sugars and added salt to it.
And real quick, Dr. Austin, I want to talk about how people can find out more about the Family Nutrition Program.
They can go to familynutritionprogram.org and find out all about us.
All right. Some very important information as we head into the holiday weekend, as we continue in the hurricane season. Is there anything else that you feel that we should know in order to help us save some money and some cash at the grocery store?
Yes, you want to make sure you check out the unit price on foods. It's like shopping when you're looking for a gallon of gas. You want that lowest price for the gallon and look for it on that unit price when you're looking at the grocery shelves to make sure you get that better, lower price.
All right, awesome. Well, Dr. Austin, thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Sharon Austin is the Adult Program Specialist with the IFAS, Extension Family Nutrition Program. Some very important information heading into the holiday season and to help us save each and every day as well. So thank you so much, Dr. Austin.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you, Jamie.
All right.
And good grocery shopping by thinking on a budget.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I just want to, as we head into the break, leave with this information. You know, Americans are facing grocery store prices hikes at levels not seen since the 1970s when inflation ran rapid. So follow those tips from Dr. Austin. Very important. We'll be right back. Nobody seemed to notice me. We had a hedge back home in the suburb over which I never could see. Live on a ceiling, scream and fight scarily. Hearing that noise was my first ever feeling. That's how it's been all around me. I'm all lost in the supermarket. I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for a special offer, a guaranteed personality. I'm all tuned in, I see all the programs.
Lee and Kate's Glass, family-owned and operated for 95 years. Lee and Kate's Glass is your source for upgrading your home's glass, from shower doors and mirrors to windows and tabletops. Learn more at leeandkatesglass.com.
Examining the role of the physician as citizen in our healthcare system. I'm Dr. Joe Servin. Join me Saturday at 4 for What's Health Got to Do With It, only on WJCT News 89.9 Jacksonville.
When the pandemic took hold in 2020, the federal response was already woefully behind. Dr. Deborah Birx, former White House coronavirus response coordinator, joins us to discuss her role in ramping up the Trump administration's efforts to combat the virus and the political turmoil she found behind the scenes. That's next time on Think. Tonight at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
One way the West is punishing Russia over Ukraine is by stopping purchases of Russian gas. But that's raising a dilemma for Europe.
In making itself less dependent on Russian gas, it is now making itself more dependent on Middle Eastern gas.
Middle Eastern countries have plenty of fuel, but some have poor records on democracy and human rights. Europe's energy compromise on the world.
This afternoon at 3, here on WJCT News 89.9.
What's behind the push by several states to restrict the use of ballot initiatives? They're a way for the public to decide on important local issues. This year, voters in at least 31 states will have the chance to vote on dozens of them. But in some states, this democratic tool is under attack. We'll find out why next time on 1A.
Today, starting at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. What's Good Wednesday? Lots of great things going on the First Coast. First, the Junior Achievement of North Florida received a more than $76,000 grant from the Jim Moran Foundation to fund its newest program, JA Heroes. Now, that program is in partnership with Duval County Public Schools and aims to enrich the education of middle school students by exposing them to college, careers, and activities that support a bright future. Now, the FSCJ Artist Series presents the Bite Size Science virtual summer program. Children's author, musician, zoologist, and influencer Lucas Miller is on a mission to help kids cultivate a love for nature. Now, Bite Size Science includes 4 10 to 15 minute videos and an interactive guide for young campers to participate in nature challenges. Episodes include lessons on monarch butterflies, animal groups, cheetahs, and sharks, and tickets are on sale at fscjartistseries.com. That's fscjartistseries.com. Well, are you still looking for 4th of July plans? The St. John's Riverkeeper is hosting their annual Tiny Dock Concert featuring local favorite Let's Ride Brass Band. That event's going to run from 6 to 8:30. Anyone can join the concert by boat, canoe, kayak, or stand up on a paddleboard. Now, the ticket donations are encouraged to support the musicians and ensure the continuation of the popular concert series. Well, the Cummer Museum of Art and Gardens is pleased to announce the opening of its new exhibition, Buddha, Shiva, Lotus, and Dragon, masterworks from the Mr. and Mrs. John D. Rockefeller Third Collection at Asia Society, and that is that started on Saturday, the 25th. Now, that exhibition presents 67 pieces from the late 6th century BCE to the earliest 19th century, and that originate from Cambodia, China, India, as well as other South and Eastern Asian countries. Now, that exhibit opened on last Saturday, and that's going to run through September. Now, tickets are available for purchase, and you can purchase those tickets online or at the museum. Don't forget the Jack's Music Experience. Of course, we always love this at WJCT. Coming up on July 1st, we are going to see on the WJCT soundstage Spyro Gyra. They're going to be live on Friday, July 1st from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you check that out. We also have a lot of great things going on in Jack's Beach. I know a lot of folks are excited that the Jacksonville Beach Pier is going to open around the 4th of July. It's been a long time. We've seen those cranes out there, but obviously we are all excited about all the big changes that are coming. Now, you might remember that Hurricane Matthew in 2016 and then Hurricane Irma in 2017 washed more than 100 feet of that pier away. So it's very exciting to be able to now have the opportunity to enjoy the pier again. And don't forget, there are multiple locations that you can see the 4th of July fireworks. Now, we also want to point that out. You know, I know the city's been posting a lot about this on social media. These are the 6 locations in the Jacksonville area where you can check out fireworks. There's the FSCJ North Campus, Trinity Baptist Church, of course, downtown, and at 121 Financial Ballpark. There's also Ed Austin Regional Park and the Avenues Mall to be able to watch the fireworks in the different locations. So, of course, there is lots going on this weekend. And again, while you're enjoying all those things, as we learned earlier, make sure you're protecting yourself from COVID and protecting others by being diligent and careful. And of course, you can always find a lot of great events going on our website at wjct.org. Well, we also want to remind you that in addition to all the great things that are going on in terms of fireworks and things like that in the community, you can always find lots of great things going on the holiday weekend. And don't forget, as we talked on the show a couple days ago, travel. Give yourself extra time. If you're traveling by car, give yourself extra time. It's going to be a lot of traffic. And if you're heading to Jax Airport, my goodness, give yourself a lot of extra time, especially for parking and getting through the security lines. As we mentioned, there's a lot going on with a lot of people heading out to travel. Well, that's going to do it for our show this morning. Our senior producer is Heather Schatz. Catherine Hobbs is our associate producer. Our director this morning is Josh Torres. Our production intern is Marie Billow. Jessica Palumbo is our editorial director, and our news director is Randy Roguski. As always, if you have any questions or comments about First Coast Connect, reach out to us. Let us know what you think. You can email us at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And always want to make sure I plug, make sure you subscribe to Jacksonville Today. If you want to know what's going on in Jacksonville in the mornings and a good, complete update of everything you need to know to get your day started, subscribe to Jacksonville Today. I'm Jamie Jackson. I've enjoyed filling in for Melissa as she continues to recover. We all love and miss her very much. And we appreciate you for taking the time to listen to First Coast Connect right here on WJCT News 89.9 Jacksonville. Thanks for the company, and make sure you make it a positive day. Tipping at the sea, lights and sirens in the dark. Plug my ears to hear my heart. But when it gets to be too much, I find myself in what I love. When I'm by the sea, sweatshirt, sweatpants, white noise, blue jeans, writing letters to open, black cats, and tender moments.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.